and welcome to RTE Radio 1's The Rolling Wave podcast with me, Aoife Nic Cormack. In this episode, we'll be hearing from five more of the musicians commissioned by the programme to write a new tune for our Faoiseamh project. Johnny O'Connolly, Josephine Marsh, Owen Dillon, Idel Fox and Liz Carroll all tell us a little bit more about the context for their new compositions.
I don't know if I ever properly got the notion. I'm still wondering about it, but because it's really in more recent years, I'd say from 2008 and that I've been composing on a more regular basis. Before that, it was very kind of sporadic, one here and one there. And I didn't really think of myself, because I talked to other composers and, you know, they were saying things like, oh, this tune's always running around in my head and all that. And I wasn't like that. And I'm still not really like that. I find that I've to sit down where it's nice and quiet and I have an idea in my head, or usually a person or something that's happened, is what inspires me to write a tune. And also I think keys and that help me as well, because I've always had a lifelong interest in classical music. So I'm very interested in key relationships and all that sort of thing, and trying different keys and finding different ways of composing in you know. And so I'm very interested, and I've always been very interested in composers as such. I suppose I'm obsessed with classical composers. I'm always reading biographies and listening to music and all that. So I was doing that for years, but I wasn't actually composing myself. And I suppose that's where the impetus comes from, that it's always been a kind of an obsession with me. But
and do you have a classical training, or do you do all of this by ear?
No, by ear. No, I have no classical training. And luckily for me, in traditional music, you don't really need to be trained to compose the tunes, because they're, you know, quite a simple structure in that. And it certainly would be helpful, I'm sure, to have some training. But I'm a traditional musician through and through, and it's just that I use classical music as an inspiration, I suppose, melodically, and also I suppose in a more kind of intangible kind of way, you know, in my attitude towards, you know, the idea of composing or thinking about it, or, you know, getting ideas. But as I said my main ideas, I don't have tunes running around my head all the time like some people. I find that I sit down, people or texts, you know, or what I mean by text, I mean actual, you know,
not a text
writing,
message,
you know, inspire me, or, you know, whatever. I get my inspiration from people and events and books or poems or whatever, I think.
So you have to take the time to let the music come out as such.
Yeah.
Tell me about the tune you've written for The Rolling Wave and the instrument you're playing it on, because, you know, you play the accordion, but then you kind of mastered the melodeon not so long ago, I suppose. So tell me about what you're playing here.
Well, my original idea was to compose a tune on the melodeon for The Rolling Wave. And I did that, and it was a hornpipe, and it had two parts, and I was going to, and then I kind of changed it into a kind of a show tune. And I spent quite a bit of time with it, and then I thought, this just doesn't have the right feel for not just for The Rolling Wave, but the idea of that, you know, in composing in isolation and the whole thing that had happened with the pandemic and all that. And at the same time that I was doing that, I'm also working on stuff for ITMA, for the Irish Social Music Archive, where they're going to archive some of my tunes. And so I was going backlogging all the stuff that I'd composed. Not that there's an awful lot of it, but there was one tune, a simple waltz called On Páistín Fiach, and it came about, and that's the tune that I used, but it was only a very simple two-part tune. And I played that, and I thought, I think this has the right feel for what I want to put across. And so what I did was I developed that tune. I added three more parts to it and finished it, and also added some accompaniment on the accordion as well. I wanted it to be a kind of a self-contained piece where the accompaniment was built in with the melody, if you know what I mean. So it was recorded and played on an accordion that I've only acquired recently, an old Paolo Soprani, grey Paolo from 1949, that I sourced through John Brosnan. I'm just getting used to it now, and I feel it has a lovely, lovely mellow sound, and that's the instrument.
It has a very rich, warm sound to it, definitely. And people are going to hear it in a minute. But, you know, the first time I heard this tune,
One thing that struck me about it is, in contrast to the feeling I think that that many people were having about being sort of hemmed in somehow during the lockdown and the pandemic and everything, this has a great freedom to it, a sort of a looseness and abandon nearly. Do you know what I mean? Both in the tune itself and in the melody, in the playing itself and in the melody.
Yeah, I think probably in the first 2 months of the lockdown, I did a lot of playing because I was, I suppose, composing and thinking about stuff that I had composed and trying to compile the stuff together for the ITMA project. So that got me, you know, thinking about composing, and also because the accordion, I hadn't played this new accordion much, so I wanted to really play it in and get used to it. So I suppose a lot of that kind of sense of freedom and enjoyment in the new instrument, the new old instrument as well, comes out. And also, I've never really done that before where I've tried to compose a piece with the accompaniment built into it so that it's self-contained and doesn't need a guitar. I'm sure it would benefit from a guitar or whatever, but it's just the idea was to do it all on the one instrument.
Okay, well, An Páirt Dhín Fhiach, it's a fine tune. We'll come back to that hornpipe. That'll be round two. We don't need another pandemic for round two, though. We'll find a better excuse, another reason to do round two. Okay, so the tune then, An Páirt Dhín Fhiach. Tell me who Fhiach is.
Fhiach is a son of two very good friends of mine in Spittal. And I had previously written a tune for his sister, Ella, which is La Bella Ella. It's a waltz on Fear Inis Barachan. And when I composed that piece for her, I went home and I thought, well, I have to compose him a piece as well, because it wouldn't be fair. And but his piece didn't make the album. But when I was doing the ITMA project, of course, it came up again. And I just felt that it had the right feel that I wanted for this particular project. And I expanded it, added new parts and accompaniment and all that. So it became a bigger piece. But it started out as a very simple waltz.
Yeah, the tune that I wrote is a hornpipe. It started off its life, I suppose, as a reel, but kind of quickly turned into a hornpipe. Because I used it, you know, the occasional triplets and stuff like that. Yeah, it has an uncertain sort of a feel to it, and there's a bit of an air of fear and anxiety if you listen hard enough going through it as well. It's in the key of G minor, which is always a bit, I suppose, mysterious, you know. So I just kind of let it kind of compose itself, I suppose. The second part took me a little while to get it, because I wasn't quite sure where it was going to go, you know. And I suppose it kind of echoes the feelings that we all have about this whole time, you know, in history that we're experiencing. A lot of worry and fear around it, you know. So I think it kind of, you can hear that a lot in the second part. The second part starts off on a more sort of positive note, but kind of turns into the you know, more sort of fearful feelings there, you know, around the fourth bar. Yeah.
Did you find it hard to write tunes during the lockdown, or was that something that was sort of a solace, or how was it?
Yeah, I did actually. I found it very hard. I tried several times in the first month or two to write tunes, you know, just to kind of, I suppose, when you're writing, it's an extension of yourself. It's a form of expression, what you want to say in that moment in time. And usually I find, you know, I'm usually in a happy kind of mood writing tunes. And this is kind of an unusual thing because, again, you know, just kind of coming back to the worry and the fear around this whole thing, you know. So initially kind of I started off a few months ago trying to write an air, you know, because there was a lot of kind of, there's a lot of sadness around this whole COVID COVID-19 for a lot of people, and you know, just the feelings of sadness kind of you know, come in, and just knowing that so many people died and so many people's lives were affected by it. So, but, and I found I just couldn't do it. I couldn't write for a long time. But in the last month or so, things are kind of, you know, coming back, and the creativity is kind of hitting in again, which is fantastic, you know. I suppose it's more, it's just a sign that there's hope there, you know, in general.
And I know a lot of people now are looking back at those couple of months and sort of remembering, you know, particular moments or memories or things they did with their families or that kind of thing that stood out for them, that stand out for them. Are there things like that that you think of when you think back?
Well, I suppose going through it as a family, it's kind of like as parents myself, from, you know, we're kind of steering the ship, if you like. That's what I felt like it was. And, you know, everyone is kind of going with the flow and trying to be as good as they can in this time and you know, adhere to the regulations and all the rest of it. But there were some lovely moments as well, you know, the feelings of being together, and we did a lot more things as a family together, like going for walks and picnics and in the area, of course, and a lot more exercise together. And, you know, I suppose it's a feeling of like everyone's in this together and everyone wants to kind of, you know, everyone wants the situation to heal up quickly, and that's all we want, really.
And this tune, your son is playing with you here.
Yeah, Andrew. Andrew's 13 and growing up very fast. He plays a few different instruments, but he chose to play the bouzouki for this one, and I was glad he did, actually, because the instrument it's a lower instrument, as you know, than the mandolin. He was going to play the mandolin for this tune, but the bouzouki is a little lower, you know, in tone, so it kind of suited the mood of the tune, I suppose, better, you know.
And before we hear it, when it came to me, it had no title. Does it have a title yet?
It does have a title, and it's called Into a Brighter Day. And I got the idea from a mass card of my friend Tom Carey, just fell out of my bag one day, and I started to read it. And one of the lines at the end of the card was, at the end of a poem, is like, Into a Brighter Day. And I just thought that would be a lovely name, you know, and it suited the whole period of time that we're going through as well. We're all looking forward to that day when things are, you know, more hopeful and we can be more sure of ourselves walking around the streets and visiting people's homes and stuff, you know.
Okay, well, let's have a listen to it. This is Josephine Marsh's tune, and this is called Into a Brighter Day.
In school, and I remember the first tune I wrote was called At the Bus Stop. I think some friends of mine were writing tunes, or I was listening to the Moving Hearts and discovered the Miscovered Mountain, and there's Junior Queen tune. Oh, so people are writing tunes, and I decided that I'd give it a go, because you know the way you'd be humming, walking down the road, humming a song, and oh, why didn't I try writing that down?
And like, I suppose you were lucky as well, because you were part of a group of people in school and stuff. Mm. We're all writing, like it was a thing to sort of,
you know, most of us probably were writing, yeah,
play around with tunes, like,
yeah, and then busking in town, people were singing songs and writing their own songs. And
do you have a, like I've been saying, a process, but do you have a plan when you set out to write a tune, or do you record the fragments, or do you write them down, or what do you do?
It's usually at the kitchen table, or playing a whistle, or if I'm just practicing the pipes, and you come out with a sequence of notes, and it depends on the situation. Like if I'm abroad, I tend to get a lot of ideas, because you're in a different sphere or way, a different place, a different frame of mind maybe. But it's mostly just messing around with the whistle or the pipes and getting fragments, and half them are disappear. and then you might remember them a year later or the next day, you know.
And do you write different tunes? Is the feel of the tunes different depending on whether they're on the pipes or the whistle?
Yeah, there's some tunes that I couldn't play on the pipes, that I'd play on the whistle. You know, or I'd have to think about it a bit. You know, I'm going to... vice versa as well. Yeah.
When we asked people to write a tune, obviously we were all in lockdown and it was an odd time. And the tunes were sort of reflecting that. What were you doing during the lockdown, or what was the lockdown like for you?
It's exactly the same, Eva. Well, I miss going out to gigs. I miss going out meeting people. But I was working from home mostly, and I miss going out to the workshop in the Pipers Club.
So tell me about the tune that you wrote.
The tune.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering, should I call it Face Mask? But Termin, I called it.
Which means?
Retreat, I suppose. Because that's what it felt like for me, being on a retreat. You know, a silent retreat almost, because I'm living alone at the moment. And rather than having your cup of coffee and going out meeting people, here I am again. So that called it Termin, yeah.
And tell me about it.
I suppose the main part's a jig, and then there's half a jig, you could say. That's not finished, you could say. I had a little riff in the whistle, and I had that little riff for ages, a couple of years, and I didn't do anything with it. But every time I kept coming back to it, and I remember I have a notebook there with all my whistle sizes on it, and sometimes I write down notes of tunes, and I have that written down, and I generally don't write that down unless I think it's alright, you know. So I had that written down, then I had a slow part to come after it in E minor, which is, it doesn't really bear any relation to me that it's slow as well, but I thought it worked. And then when you asked me to write a tune, I found those pieces again in the blue notebook, and the jig just seemed to come out of it. So, and then I didn't want to just finish like that, so I thought I needed another piece at the end, which I think is a funny little, it's half a jig, I suppose, if you put, that's how I describe it. What would that be, Eva? 16 bars of it. And then that was referring back to the bit at the very start, the slow bit.
So two and a half is a charming.
Yeah, and two riffs, let's look them together.
First of all, I suppose I've gone through the corona coaster of emotions in the last few months where, you know, I suppose I kind of went into the lockdown period of time from a very strange period of time. I had a baby last October. Little Fia was born, my second girl. And I was also... 2 months prior to that, in August, I had been actually diagnosed with breast cancer, unfortunately. So I I'm flying it now. Thank God I have a full bill of health. I've been given the all clear, thankfully. But it's fantastic. But I had my final surgery in February. And February the 13th. And I had a mastectomy, so it was quite an intense recovery period. And I had kind of 2-3 weeks pretty much in the bed, and my mum was down from County Clare, down in Waterford where we live, of course, being the incredible grandmother she is, minding the girls, like just there to do everything. And I just had so many people around to help me. And then next thing, lockdown basically happened in kind of early mid-March, and it was such a frightening time. I felt like I had just come out of the doldrums myself, and I was ready to get back to work and ready to embrace life, and so happy to have been given the all clear at the end of February.
Okay.
So I actually find that the whole year has been surreal for me. And I suppose there was this, I had the same fears that everyone else had, you know, around that early period. But I quickly learned that, you know, about, I suppose I quickly learned to appreciate all the brilliant things that I had inside my four walls at home. You know, obviously there was the girls, there was music, you know, we don't play as much as we liked at home, but we still play music at home and enjoy it. And I suppose it was an opportunity to be creative. And it was an opportunity to reflect as well on aspects of our lives that we're perhaps not embracing enough, and also to leave some aspects of our lives behind us, the stresses and the worries and all that kind of thing. So overall, it's actually been a lovely time for us as a family, you know, and for us, Neil and my husband Neil's a musician as well. So we've had actually, you know, a really nice time both playing music, listening to music. I mean, I think that the internet has been incredible.
The star of the show, all right, yeah.
Like, what would people have done, you know, without it? Like, I mean, it has kept us so connected. I mean, it has kept us so exposed to music, you know. Like, I have some friends who live in Boston, and they play in a pub called the Behan, a pub in Boston, and what they did was they took their session, four of them lived together, four of these musicians, and they took their session to their home and they Facebook lived it every Saturday evening. So I used to tune into that every Saturday and just kind of have it on there in the kitchen and feel like you're sitting in the Behan, and instead of a pint, it might have been a glass of wine or whatever. But you know, so we've enjoyed it overall, you know, considering the strange circumstances.
Okay, well, look, you've written two gorgeous tunes for us out of all of this time, and we'll hear them in a second. But the writing of tunes, have you always written tunes, or has that sort of been part of your musical life?
Yeah, I have been writing tunes at various periods of my life. I won't say it's something I've done consistently over the years. I have written a good number of tunes at this point, but I think there was also, you know, and a lot of musicians I know would say the same, there's a kind of a confidence around composition as well that isn't innate for some people. And I feel that it's not an innate confidence I have as a composer. I feel that sometimes as well, when you compose a tune, you become so connected to the tune that it's like an artist drawing a painting, that sometimes they have to step away from it or else hear someone else play the tune to actually decide whether it's good or not. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
So I've always kind of struggled with that part of composition. So, but I have, it is something I have done, you know, in fits and spurts over the years, definitely.
There are two gigs and you have Caoimhín O'Farrell playing here with you. So were they written as a pair? Were they written, you know, to start off with,
yes.
As a pair? Yes. Okay.
Yes. So they were actually written for my two girls. And I suppose in some ways I have become that person that thinks about their kids and talks about their kids. But I suppose it's my world at the moment. But yeah,
okay,
they're actually
allowed.
Written for my two girls. And yeah, so the first one is called The Glint in Her Eye. And it's actually for my little girl, Aideen. She's four. And Aideen was born, she was an early arrival, let's just say. She was a very, very premature baby, but she came out fighting, and she's still fighting with us, Junie Mac. But she's a feisty, funny child, and she has a devilish glint in her eye, and she just couldn't but make you laugh. So that's kind of where the first tune came from and is for Aideen. And then the second one is a bright tune. It's a major tune. I composed it for Fia, and I call it Unsullis Adarchadus. So the light, you know, a light in the darkness. And I suppose it's because Fia came at a very dark time in my life, but she arrived perfectly, in just gorgeous and has been smiling since the day she was born. She's never given us a moment's trouble in the middle of all the trauma of the other things that were happening. So she's definitely that bright light that I've had in the midst of all the mad stuff that's happened this year.
And just before you hear it, because you know, I think people will recognise this in listening to it, but I was thinking earlier that it's a real skill to be able to compose tunes, you know, within the traditional idiom, that the listener can identify immediately the character of the music or of the, you know, of the tune within the music, the sort of the bigger music, while not, you know, recognising the individual notes and how they've been put together, because so that's brand new, but the character feels, you know, older, ancient. That's a very nice skill to have, I think. Do you recognise that in the tune that you've written?
Yeah, actually, and thank you for saying that, because I definitely feel that my music it has always been inspired by older music. My playing is all, I should say, has always been inspired by older music and older musicians, and I think that's where I come from musically, both geographically, being from West Clare and growing up around, you know, people and an area so steeped in musical history, but also my interests lie very much with older tunes and the compositions of older musicians, and you know, so I suppose that's sort of instinctive to me to write like that, because that's what I love. I write music to, I suppose, suit how I'm feeling at a particular time, and you know, music that sort of connects deeply with me.
Okay, well, let's have a listen to them, the two brand new jigs with Adele Fox and Cuíomhann O'Farrell on Bouzouki.
Yeah, I don't know if I have any stories. I always enjoyed coming home one time from a Cayley, and I just had an entire hornpipe in my head by the time I got home in my Volkswagen. And it was so cold out, and I thought, I've got to sneak into the house now really late at night or early in the morning, but really cold, Chicago cold. And I had nothing to write with, and I took a look at the, because it's a Volkswagen Beetle, and they used to get pretty frosty. So I looked at the window and went, all right, if I write it there, it'll be there when it frosts up again. So I wrote down the whole tune on my windows and then went in and went to bed. So that one was totally like an entire tune, boom. And a lot of times, and then I've had things where I've had first two parts, and by God, a year went by before that third part occurred to me. And you just knew that it wasn't done, but it took that long.
And when it comes to playing them, like somebody told me once that what's great about playing your own tunes is that nobody can ever tell you played them wrong. You know, like that there's the freedom. Is there a nice freedom to playing your own tunes, you know?
There is. Oh, yeah. And you know, I think it's you can get an idea about whether this is a nice tune by playing it. You know, you can feel the fun of what's happening in the fingers and of the left hand and the bowing in the right for me. And I used to not play any of my tunes very early on, and most of the time you didn't, because nobody wanted that. People in sessions wanted to play the stuff they knew. So me and my strange tunes, usually I would kind of go and maybe sneak one in, Aoife, and then somebody would say, well, what's that? And either they wanted it or they didn't, and they didn't. And so, you know, the other thing that I bet people would say, not only can you, you know, no one can tell you that you're wrong, but one thing that happens with your own tunes is that I think you improve your playing because you so want to get this tune across. Mm. So you want people to like it, and you can't play it You can't play it crappy, and anybody's going to want it. So it's almost like you're growing together. Mm. Like the tunes are maybe getting nicer, and your playing is improving, and you're bringing it all along together so that you can share it.
It's a full body musical workout, Liz.
It's Jane Fonda.
Yeah. You know, we obviously already have thousands of gorgeous tunes. So what's the challenge involved in creating a new tune? Like, when you write your compositions, do you categorize them as Irish traditional tunes, or how do you view them?
Well, you know, I always kind of feel like they're really, really based on being an Irish tune. But maybe more when I was younger than they are now. I've kind of landed on a little groove to my playing that, you know, is kind of inspired by every darn thing I hear. So I really love looking around at everybody's music, and not just the Irish, and am inspired by almost every kind of music. So, and I try them on for size, and I don't demand of myself that I become that kind of music. I almost just want to get in it enough to find out what's there, because I really do love Irish music.
I was reading something recently, just to finish up, about the last few months and, you know, people's memories of how strange it's been. And, you know, so for you, thinking back over the past, say, 3 or 4 months, are there specific things that will always stand out for you?
Well, I kind of enjoyed looking up and no planes. Definitely liked less cars. And I hear what everybody's saying about the nice thing of being home. There's a couple of things there. I don't know. My mom is in a nursing home, so I have not been able to see her except to do an iPad, which is kind of a disaster. Being an older person staring at me there doesn't seem to make sense. So we mostly will talk on the phone. I'm going to see her Thursday. So I'm really looking forward to being able to reconnect with her. You know, I'm in America, and I really... really, really, really am sad about how this has been handled from the top. And I don't know if we're ever going to get over it. Yeah. So you just kind of, maybe the music has been a really good thing. Certainly the musicians are. I've had wonderful conversations with all old friends who are still the best friends. And we talk music, and we share what albums we're listening to, and what tunes we're writing in our houses, and better days coming.
The stories behind the tunes are as important as the tunes themselves, you know, sometimes, or if not all the time. So tell me about these tunes that you've written for The Rolling Wave.
Well, sadly, I haven't named them yet. Aoife, you're going to have a job to do. You're going to have to say them before they're playing on the radio. I've tried, and I cannot name them yet. So I'm really thinking. So there's a couple of things at work there. I did like that the reel ended up being so flute friendly. So I was thinking I might name that something to do with it being flute friendly. And then the other tune... As I was saying, I think I was really thinking of just really bare little notes, and not too twirly and not too fancy. And I like what it did. But when it was done, and as I sat back and thought about it, I couldn't help but think of, there was a fella named Tony Hall, and he was an accordion player in England. And one of my very favorite albums many, many moons ago was an album by him. And he sang kind of like in that almost like sea shanty style. But he was an accordion player, and he's very kind of dense and wonderful accordion style. And I don't know. Half of me wants to kind of honor that it's in that ballpark a little bit. So it's not a done deal. I don't know the names of them yet. Maybe we're going to have a contest.
Open it to the floor.
Name that tune.
And she did name them in the end. They were called The Flute, Friendly, Real and Mouse and Shrew. So thanks for listening to the Rolling Wave podcast. For rights reasons, the music here is shorter than in the radio broadcasts. If you'd like to hear the full versions of the tunes, you can go to rte.ie/radio1/The Rolling Wave. And all 10 compositions were broadcast in full on the programme on Sunday, November the 8th. Till the next time. Gurumina Magi Agaslan.